Our scripture reading tonight is from Psalm 133. It's a song of ascent of David. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing our summertime, taking a look at these songs of ascent, these songs that the pilgrims sang as they mounted the hill up to the temple in Jerusalem. And this one is so simple. It's three short verses. How good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity. There's something beautiful that happens when God's people get along. And as a matter of fact, when God's people, who are also vastly different, with all sorts of strengths and weaknesses and all sorts of different personalities, some very, very strong, when God's people are able to get along, are able to live in unity, it has to be a work of God's Spirit. Because our natural inclination as human beings is to live in disunity. All you have to do is take a peek on Facebook or Twitter or look at the world around you, and you see we live in a world of disunity, a world of chaos sometimes. A world where people's strongly held opinions cause them often to write other people off. I wonder sometimes as a people what our future looks like, how we ever get along when we're divided on so many planes. Sometimes we're divided by gender, we're divided by race, we're divided by politics, we're divided by music styles, by TV show likes, every area of our lives we can find. We see all sorts of chaos and a lack of unity. And so David here, God through David, calls his people to unity. How beautiful it is, how good, how pleasant when God's people live together in unity. And it would be a fine thing if we only saw disunity and chaos in the world. But unfortunately, we see it in God's people as well. It didn't take very long until God's people were disagreeing on different points and breaking up into different sects and different churches and different denominations. And while I understand why that happened, it makes me sad in a way that we can't have this unity together as a body of Christ. I've had a couple experiences lately. One was a couple Saturdays ago. I was at the Wells Fargo Center at the Women of Faith Conference and had a little bit, not a ton, but a few moments of worship there with a stadium full of different women, all able to worship God together. I had an experience that was deeper even still a little while back when Tom and I had the opportunity to go to Madison Square Garden and to see Chris Tomlin and Worship Night in America. And, you know, I thought we were going to a Chris Tomlin concert. What we were doing is we were going to have church. And there was just an amazing sense in that arena as we sang, as we worshiped, as we praised God together. And, you know, had you broken down that group of people, you probably could have found all different disagreements about baptism, about communion, about the Holy Spirit, about the gifts, speaking in tongues and prophecy. You could have found a lot of disagreement, but somehow those 20,000 people were able to be united in the name of Jesus. And when we have that kind of experience, it's like heaven on earth. It's a little taste, I believe, of what heaven's going to be like. Closer to home, a couple months back, we went to a prayer vigil for the tragedy that happened at Mother Emmanuel AME Church to pray for the families and the church and the victims over at the Bethlehem AME Church in Burlington. And again, what an amazing time to be with people who worship in all different ways, all different denominations. God's people gathered together, and we were able to worship. We were able to put aside our differences and worship because we worshiped Jesus. And I'm reminded that as people, what we share in Jesus, what we have in common in him, is greater than anything that would divide us. I'm not saying that the things that make us who we are theologically are not important. They are. It is important for us to have a theology, an understanding of God, a framework in which we see what God is. Our forebears in the early church realized that, and that's why several different councils got together and drew up some of the creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and they said, these are the things that it's important for us to believe, that we believe in one God who has revealed himself to us in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus Christ somehow is both God and man. And we believe for us and for his salvation, he came down to earth and was incarnate by the Virgin Mary, beloved the Holy Spirit, and was born human. We believe he walked on this earth. We believe he went to the cross for the remission of our sins to wash us clean in his precious blood. We believe that on the third day he rose again and that he ascended into heaven and he sits there at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, to judge the living and the dead. We believe he's coming back. We believe in the power of God's universal church. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so there, in these creeds, the forefathers of the faith said, okay, these are the things that are really important. And all the other stuff we can work out. And so we worship God together in unity. And it's so important. As I read this song of ascent, as I let it settle in my heart, as I chew on it, if you will, I'm reminded of something else, some other truth. That not only is it a blessing when we have unity, not only is it a blessing when we can lay aside our differences and worship one Lord together. But David gives us this kind of funny illustration, which for us in the day we live in probably doesn't mean much. Talks about the beauty of God's people in unity. It's like oil flowing down on the beard, on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. And we might kind of say, wow, I don't know that that's really good and pleasant if somebody poured oil over our head. And yet, oil on the head was a sign of blessing, was a sign of an anointing. When Aaron was appointed the chief priest of the Israel people, oil poured on his head that went down into his collar, if you will, to set him apart for God. Kings were anointed with oil. We saw Samuel anoint Saul. We saw him anoint David with oil, a sign of God's blessing, of his Holy Spirit, of his presence. There was something that was such a blessing, that was magnificent about being anointed with oil. David says it in the 23rd Psalm. He says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I can't even hold all my blessings. In the New Testament, we see Mary of Bethany pour perfumed oil on the feet of Jesus and wipe them with her hair. We see another woman pour beautiful perfumed oil right on Jesus' head, and Jesus says that it was such a beautiful gift for her to do that, and that she was anointing him for his burial. It was a blessing. A blessing of God's presence, of being a set apart for God. It's like, David tells us, God's people. It's like being anointed with God's blessing when we dwell together in unity. It's like the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion, because that's where God blesses his people. So somehow, when we're able to live in unity, when we're able to love one another in spite of our differences, not only does the world take notice, because Jesus tells us that, this is how people are going to know you belong to me, by the way you love one another. Paul tells us to be patient and tolerant with one another, to forgive one another, to have mercy on one another, and above all things to put on love, which binds everything together in perfect unity. Love which covers a multitude of sins, perfect love which casts out fear. So not only do we let the world know whose we are when we love each other, when we live in peace, which is one of the fruits the Spirit longs to grow in us, peace. Paul says, as much as it's possible for you, be at peace with all people. So not only do people see we belong to Jesus, not only do we get to manifest, if you will, the beautiful fruit of the Spirit, but David reminds us in this psalm that that's one of the places we find God's blessing, when his people live together in unity. Maybe it's really simple for you to live in unity with people. Maybe you're very easygoing and you have great love. And if that's true for you, that is so wonderful. And I just encourage you to keep on keeping on. But if there are people in your life, especially brothers and sisters, who you're struggling with, getting along with, or even liking, then I invite you to ask God to change your heart. Ask God to help you build a bridge to reach out in love to someone who is really difficult to you. Jesus says the peacemakers are blessed. They'll be called children of God. How good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity. And I was thinking about this psalm, and I was thinking about the blessing of anointing, of being blessed by God. I really felt like I wanted to have that opportunity to give you a blessing. And Mike and Jill Zulte went to the Holy Land, and they very, very graciously brought me back some anointing oil from the Holy Land. And so as we think about the oil running down over Aaron's beard, as we think about being blessed by God's presence, being anointed by his Holy Spirit, by being consecrated and set apart for him, I just invite you, if you'd like, to just to come up for a minute and have us anoint you, and just pray God's blessing over you. So feel free to come up.